You haven't taken the time to replenish your spiritual energy. You haven't nourished yourself so that your soul is wet and moist. You haven't gotten into the Word. You haven't prayed so that you have this moisture that's permeating through your body. I was reading a story about the Tournament of Roses parade many years ago. And in the Tournament of Roses parade, the Shell Oil Company had a float. And it was one of the key floats in the parade. And something happened where the Shell Oil float stopped. And when the Shell Oil float stopped, it messed up the rest of the parade. The whole parade stopped. And you know why the Shell Oil float broke down? Because it ran out of gas. Now, you're the gas company, right? If anybody's supposed to have gas in the vehicle, you should have gas in the vehicle. But here it was sitting there in the midst of the parade, broke down because there was no gas in it. And what happened? Oh, somebody, I need somebody to hear me now. I need somebody to hear me on this one right here. That they were so busy worrying about how the float looked. That they didn't give it what it needed to keep going.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We will conclude part one of the Negev, a place of spiritual dryness, which is part seven of our nine-part series titled Spiritual Lessons from Biblical Places. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part one of the Negev,
was very
a place
offensive
of spiritual dryness.
And now, you know, you have a wounded saint out there. Did you quench the spirit because God told you to do something and you didn't do it? Did you put out the flame of the Holy Spirit burning in your life? Have you quenched that spirit? And when you quench the spirit, you begin, you know, it's like that wicked witch in the Wizard of Oz, right? When they poured that water, help me. Right? She just shrank up. And you committed that sin, and all of a sudden your life just began to dry out. It was just like one of the things, man. And I would never know about this character if it wasn't for my grandkids. I would have absolutely no idea who this character was. SpongeBob. But I was sitting down one day, I was watching SpongeBob. And SpongeBob got out of the water, right? And what happened when SpongeBob got out of the water? He started to drown. I mean, he just turned into this. It was horrible, man. I felt sorry for the brother, man. I mean, all the moisture was just sucked out of SpongeBob. He just wanted to, all he wanted to do was just lay around. He didn't want to do anything. Just lay there. And he was flat, no life, nothing. And see, that's what happens when we sin. Sometimes we get like SpongeBob out of water. And all the life and all the moisture is just sucked out of us. And we have no desire for spiritual things. And all we want to do is just lay there and languor and be unproductive. As we examine ourselves, why is it that you're there? Is it because of sin? Well, maybe it's not because of sin, but maybe you are in a place of spiritual dryness because of busyness. You've just got too busy to spend time with the Lord. You haven't taken the time to replenish your spiritual energy. You haven't nourished yourself so that your soul is wet and moist. You haven't gotten into the Word. You haven't prayed so that you have this moisture that's permeating through your body. I was reading a story about the Tournament of Roses parade many years ago. And in the Tournament of Roses parade, the Shell Oil Company had a float. And it was one of the key floats in the parade. And something happened where the Shell Oil float stopped. And when the Shell Oil float stopped, it messed up the rest of the parade. The whole parade stopped. And you know why the Shell Oil float broke down? Because it ran out of gas. Now, you're the gas company, right? If anybody's supposed to have gas in the vehicle, you should have gas in the vehicle. But here it was sitting there in the midst of the parade, broke down because there was no gas in it. And what happened? Oh, somebody, I need somebody to hear me now. I need somebody to hear me on this one right here. That they were so busy worrying about how the float looked. Whew! That they didn't give it what it needed to keep going. And you know, as you think about a parade, you know, the one songwriter said, I love a parade. You know, I love a parade. When you look at a parade, what do you see? You see Miss California, Miss Pennsylvania waving to the people. What do you see? You see some politician riding along in the parade. What do you see? You see some entertainer, some sports figure on a float riding in the parade. You see cartoon characters like Goofy and Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse riding on the parade. You see all these characters riding on the parade. And let me tell you that many of us, we are working on the floats of our life. Some of you are working on the Miss America float. You want to look good for other people. You want to be the best that you can. You want to get buffed up, and you want to have your hair right, and you want to have your beard trimmed neatly, and you want to have biceps and triceps and abs and all this other stuff, and you are looking beautiful on your float. But there's no gas in your tank. Some of you want to be like Jay Leno or David Letterman. You want to be the Goofy, riding the Goofy in the Disney World characters. You want to be funny. You want everybody to like you. And you're spending all this time trying to entertain people and tell funny stories and let people like you. But you're not spending time to replenish your tank. Some people want to be recognized as this great individual, like the politician in the parade. They you know, you want to achieve a certain level. You want to attain a certain status where you can have people look up to you and you can influence and make decisions and have power, and you're working and spending all this time to get to this political position. But you're not taking care of what you need. Maybe you want to be the athlete or entertainer, musician. And you're spending all that time working on that. And here you are, you know, you can achieve recognition and fame, but inside you are spiritually dry. How many people have I run into that are chasing the almighty dollar? Some people are chasing the dollar so hard, and when they catch it, they hold on it so tight the eagle is hollering. And here you've gained all this wealth, and you've gained all this prosperity, and you have it, and now you got all this, and there's nothing inside spiritually. And so you're riding on this float, And pretty soon, you know, all the money that you got, you know, you could have money and look good, but your float can stop. Look at Shell Oil. That's an oil company. Gas is what? What, $3? $3.60 a gallon, right? Somebody's making some money. Somebody's making some money somewhere. So you could be an oil company, and you could make all this money, and you could have big cash. Watch this. And your float break down. And your float runs out of gas. Don't make any difference how much money you got and what level you have attained, that if you haven't replenished, if you haven't refueled, you will find yourself broke down in the parade. And so people say, how do I get to this place of spiritual dryness? You get there by sin, you get there by being busy, and you get there by being lazy. You get there by being lazy, but because you haven't taken the time, you were too lazy to take care of the needs of your soul. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. In verse 30. Solomon says, I went by the field of the slothful, or the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now, you know, I'm not sure what neighborhood you live in, but I would say the average neighborhood where somebody has any substantial grass and shrubbery, that if you don't take care of it, your neighbors are going to talk about you. I ain't going to lie, because I talk about my I've been telling my wife, I say, man, they didn't even cut their grass. All right. Now, I don't know, maybe some people got certain reasons, all right? So I'm being gracious. But if you are an able-bodied individual, all right, and you got the time, then you got a little pride, right? You take care of it. At least I found it, if I don't do anything else, I at least take care of the front. I at least take care of the front, man, so that folk don't talk about me. I say, I know that people talk about you. Because when it's looking, oh, man, your yard looks good, man. So if it don't look good, then what? They're just not telling you. And so Solomon says here that I went by the field of the sluggard, and it was grown over with weeds. The wall was broke down, and there was weeds and crabgrass and nettles and everything grown all over the place. And why is that? Because they didn't take care of the property. Well, you know, we have the same situation here, that if we are going to be spiritually moist, that we have to take care of what it takes for us to continue to moisturize ourselves. And if we don't do that, then we will find that we dry up. You know, there's one thing that the grass growing in your yard and that spiritual dryness has in common. And that's this. That unless you stay on top of it, it's going to get out of hand. Unless you stay on top of it, it's going to get out of hand. Unless you stay on top of your spiritual life, it's going to get out of hand, and the next thing you know, you're going to be grown over with weeds and thorns, and the walls of your life will be broke down. I heard the story about a lady in St. Louis who, at the beginning of the summer, she saw some bees flying up near her top story window of her house. And she paid no mind to it. But she noticed that the bees were there all the time. And she figured that one day she would get to it. And so the summer came and she didn't do anything about it. Fall came and she didn't do anything about it. And what had happened is that the bees had actually built a hive, a nest on her second floor. And her whole second floor crashed down. The weight was so much, it just crashed down. And her whole house was ruined. And the reason that it happened is because she kept procrastinating. She kept putting off what she needed to do to take care of the situation. And if you keep putting off what you need to do to take care of your spiritual condition, then one day it may be too late. One day you may find yourself in a place of spiritual dryness and you've done something that's going to cause you shame and embarrassment for the rest of your life. And you're going to end up limping into heaven because you didn't address what it was that was causing you to be spiritually dry. How do we get to these places of spiritual dryness? We get there because of sin. We get there because of busyness. We get there because of slothfulness. And then let me give you this last one. We get there because of worldliness. That we are feeding our flesh more than we are feeding our souls. If we continue to feed our flesh the things of this world, then my brothers and sisters, I'm going to be very clear with you that the more you feed your flesh the things of the world, the bigger your appetite and the bigger your desire gets for things of the world. And you know what? The smaller and smaller and smaller your spiritual moisture becomes. And you become so overwhelmed with your desire for worldly possession. Yo, it's almost like you become consumed. That there's this insatiable desire that you can't ever have fulfilled because you want to get more. And it's like I always say, you want to get all you can, you want to can all you get, and then you want to sit on the can. And so it begins to, you know, that there's no room for the moisture of God to operate in your life because you pressed it all out with your desire and your search for worldliness. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Paul said that there's a battle going on inside of you, and the battle was going on between your spirit and your flesh. And you know what? And you feel the tension of the battle every day. From the time you get up in the morning, the battle starts. You know, it don't wait till you get on your lunch break. It hits you as soon as you get up in the day that there's this battle that's going on between the flesh, and when I say flesh, I mean your desires, your human desires, and the spirit, which is the things of God. And this battle goes on all day. I believe I've told this story before. That's the problem when you've been pastoring somewhere for 21 years. You don't know how many times you tell a story. But I'm preaching, so I'll tell it again. There was a man who was an alcoholic. And he had gone through the program and been delivered of alcohol. But he still was tempted. And still there was that lingering taste. But he did pretty good, and he was able to have the victory over it. And then one day he was walking in front of a bar, and he stopped and began to just allow the sights and the sounds and the smells to influence him. And somebody looked at him and said, "Oh, no, I can't believe that he's there. I can't believe that he's going, after all that he's done and how well he's been doing, I can't believe he's going to go in there." And they just walked on. And they saw him later on that day, and they said, "Man, you know what, you really disappointed me. You know, I thought that you had beat this thing." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I saw you standing in front of that bar today, and I know you went in there and got drunk." And the man said, "No." He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "I stood there, and it was very tempting." He said, "But I saw a sign on the drugstore across the street. And it said, drink all the buttermilk you want for 5 cents. And he said, I went over there and I just started drinking buttermilk. And I drank so much buttermilk that I had no room for alcohol. And I was able to walk on by. And see, that's the way it is in this spiritual life, right? That if we will flood our souls with spiritual things, if we will flood our souls with the Word of God, if we will flood our souls with the fellowship of the saints, if we would flood our souls with worship and good, wholesome Christian living, that we will actually flood out that desire for the world, and that there'll be no room for those worldly desires. Now, we'll have things and we'll take care of things, but we won't desire and we won't crave them. Why? Because our craving will be filled with spiritual things. Somebody said, two natures beat within my breast. One is foul and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. Which one is going to dominate you? The one that you feed. So we are feeding worldliness. It's going to dry up your spiritual life. As I close this morning, I was coming to church this morning. And I was listening to the radio with some good Christian gospel music, and this song came on, and it just touched my heart. And the song, I wish I had Brother Otis Lockhart here in the male chorus, get them up here and sing this. But the song just touched my heart. It said, take me back, dear Lord. Take me to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Now listen to this. I didn't ask the Lord for this. He gave it to me. When I was riding to church, listening to the radio in my car, listen to this verse. I feel that I'm so far from you, Lord. I feel that I'm so far from you, Lord. You know, when you get older, I know what Solomon is talking about in Ecclesiastes when he said that, you know, as you age, that even the grasshopper becomes a burden, right? You ever been like watching TV, right? And you know, you turn on the TV and you go sit down and the station that you want to watch is not on and your remote is over there. Oh man, it seems like that remote is so far away. Man, it seems like it's way over there in California somewhere. There's a time, man, you want your kids or your grandkids, somebody to be around. It just seems like it's so far away. And you know what? Sometimes that's the way it feels like, you know, when you're in spiritual dryness. Man, you feel like God is so far away. Man, God is all the way over there. And I know that I need to be right, but Lord, like the song said, I feel that I'm so far from you. But praise God, the songwriter said, but I still hear you calling me. I still hear you calling. So next week, we're going to talk about how you get out of the Negev. But I just want to let you know today that God is calling you from your place of spiritual dryness. That if you are in a place of spiritual dryness, God is calling you from that place today.
Thank you for joining us on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged. Tune in next time for the first half of part two of The Negev, A Place of Spiritual Dryness. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of teaching of part one of The Negev, A Place of Spiritual Dryness, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Negev, A Place of Spiritual Dryness, or program number 110904. Again, that's 877-831-5060, and request part one of the Negev, A Place of Spiritual Dryness, or program number 110904. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.